Well, this morning I'm just gonna finish up my little mini series on the end times and the day of the Lord with 1 Peter chapter 4. If you have your Bible with you, I want you to open on 1 Peter chapter 4. And that's towards the end of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to read in two separate verses or scripture in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Are you all there? 1 Peter chapter 4. That's just before 2 Peter. Are you all there? Okay, 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-control so that you can what? So that you can pray. And verse 8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins." And in 2 Peter chapter 3, jump to 2 Peter chapter 3. Are you there? Chapter 3, and let's read verse 1 and up to chapter 3, verse 3. "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as a reminder to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and our Savior through your apostles." Verse 3. "First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desire. They will say, 'Where is this coming?' He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of the creation." Let's stop it there. And let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the epistle of Peter, Lord Jesus, that reminds us, Lord, that we are on the last days, that we are in the verge of coming your Son, Jesus Christ, for the second time, Lord. And we pray, Father God, for your Holy Spirit to direct us and to illuminate to us, Lord, the things that you want to speak to us as you communicate with the prophets and the apostles, Lord. Father, we pray that it will be a time of reckoning or counting our days, Lord Jesus. And Father, help us, Lord, to discern the time that we live in. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. So Peter said in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, he says, "The end of the world is coming soon. And therefore, be earnest and discipline in your prayers. But most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins." Boy, isn't that the truth? That love covers a multitude of sins. And it's amazing how Peter was really definite and to the point that says, In verse 7 says, "The end of all things is near." Or the end of the world, right? The end of the world is coming soon. And it says, "Be sober-minded. Be temperate, so that you may give yourself in what? In prayer." And I believe the end of this world is coming. The world the word of being with the Lord is drawing close to him. Just resting at his feet, and that brings me to my message this morning, what I'm going to share this morning. And in this, the name of this message is being aware of the hour. Being aware of the hour. I don't know if you're following the news about this middle town in up about an hour drive north of Sacramento. And there's not too fancy houses, but it's beautiful. We went there when I was still working with the Department of Education. We have some business managers meeting in there. That house is nice. It's pretty. It's a wine county. Do you know that the mountain is pretty. And there's at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, there's a train. You ride in there, you have dinner, and you can sip a wine in going up in the mountain and then come back again. And it's pretty. And about 2 weeks ago, it was blazed by fire. Almost 600 houses was just wiped out. So I'm just wondering if you have a friend or your friend have a house there, invited you for a dinner, and then your friend said, you know what, Ed, this is a nice place in there. The climate is really, if there's an average, like in San Diego, the average climate there is about 75 to 80. And it's pretty. And you just sit down there in your backyard and sip a glass of wine, and it's pretty. But how about if you go there, you are invited, and you're sitting with him and his family, his wife and his children, and while he's saying, you know, about he's excited about the place, and then you will tell him, you know what? You're in the middle of dinner, and you tell them, you know what, brother, don't get too excited about the place, because 2 weeks from now, this house is going to be over. You might say, you know what? How can you do that? How can you say that? This is a nice place. We don't have any fire for so many years. But because you know you are aware of the hour that we live in, that they never anticipated that their house will be burned with fire. He will be destroyed. But you see the things that make them have a whole full of sense of priority and the investment of time and energy. They could not understand the hour that we are living on. And that is why God, through his apostles and prophets, tries to communicate with us the word of God and remind us the continual hour of the hour that we are living in. And Peter said this tremendous statement, I want to see this morning. I said, brothers and sisters, be aware of this. Be aware of this, because the end of all things is at hand. I'm really convinced that with this short time of our ministry, I believe now that very few Christians really believe that the Lord is coming again. I mean, we intellectually say, yeah, the Bible says the Lord is coming. But how many believe that the Lord is really coming again? And some, you know, you type in the end times in the computer. It's a lot of Google users, they say that it's coming pretty soon. It may be 2 days, 3 days from now. But are we really believe that the Lord is coming pretty soon. And how many believe that everything happens in 2 Peter is going to happen? How many believe that this earth is going to fried of a flame? And everything, how many believe that everything will be wiped out? And Peter said, the end of all things is what? Is at hand. He make a statement, the end of everything. If you believe that everything is gonna be fried. And Peter said, it was at hand 2,000 years ago. See, 1 Peter and 2, 1 Peter was written on the 60 AD. That means 60 after Jesus Christ came into this earth. And that was 60, it's about 2,000 years ago. So now we are in 2015. That close. Amen? Because the Bible says that 1,000 years is what? It's a day. And a day is 1,000 years. Actually, we are overdue. And we are at the very end. The end of all things. There will be no more cars, no more apartments, no more houses, no more living in that living. Everything will be destroyed by fire. Not one material thing is going to have a value to eternity. My car, your dress, your nice suit, the end of everything is at hand, Peter said. Everything will be destroyed. No matter how we tried to save the earth, no matter how we save the sea lion, save the fish, and save the tuna, I mean, even the smelt in Sacramento River. No matter what they do, no matter how they try to save the environment, one day, it will be destroyed. Amen? And He's going to give us a new heaven, a new earth. How many are looking forward to that new earth? It's not this earth that we're living in. It's a new earth. How many wants to see the new heaven? Amen. God said, I swear this to you. Take this to the bank. Live every day. No matter what you do, see with your own eye. Know this in your heart. The end of all things is at hand. Amen. The career is going to be ended up in this earth. The whole thing, your job, you're getting ahead, getting a raise, is a joke. Because those are the things when He comes back, it's gone. Amen? The Department of Education, no more offices, the end of all things, it's at hand, Peter said. And who is great, who is small, the end of all money. In the Wall Street, no more Wall Street, no more Dow Jones, or Terry Jones, or whatever Jones you have. It's just like Iraq. Remember Iraq? In 14 years ago, probably Saddam Hussein doesn't expect that he's gonna be killed, and even his two sons. Remember, he has two sons. Probably he didn't realize that America is going to invade him. See, but they are living in a false pretense in their life. But the Bible says, Peter said, that was 2,000 years ago, Peter said, the end of all things is just right here. It's in our hand. And even men mock and say, yeah, it's never going to happen. Where is your Lord? You heard that? I heard that. Where is your Lord? Yeah, it's not going to happen yet. But He's going to come. The day of the Lord, this is, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Amen? And the thief, he doesn't call you. Hey, Brother Wayne, could you open your door? I'm coming in about 45 minutes. If you have a brisket, leave it there in the table because I'm hungry. See, the thief doesn't say that. The thieves will come by surprise. And Jesus said, Christ will come like a thief. And imagine that in that moment, the new priorities for everybody, there will be wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth, and everything will be destroyed. Think of it. Everything, material things that the world worries about will have no value at all. Can you think about that? That everything that we have, we work hard, has no value. Everything will be destroyed. And all the material things, and those who even rejected Jesus Christ would even mock your testimony. The Bible says they will run into the caves and cry out and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. That's for those who doesn't believe Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is coming to be born, not coming to be born in a virgin. He is not coming to die on the cross for us, for the sinners. No one is going to touch him again. No one will spit on him again. No one will ever lay his finger to him again. No, he is coming like a King of Kings, like Lord of Lords. He is coming to judge the living and the dead. And all Christians who have served God down to the ages, who have been laughed at, some of them have been rejected by their friends, and some, even their own family, mock them, saying, you're fanatics, you're not. You're not letting that pastor taking advantage of you. You're in some kind of an emotional fanatics. Imagine they were running to you like they did in Noah. Remember, the Bible says, as the days that we live in is like in the days of Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? Eating and drinking. And then, you know what? They will coming to you. And they will knocking in the boat. Please let us come in. As in the days of Noah, they will be coming, knocking in the boat. Come in, let us come in. But what did Noah said? It's too late. And that's what's going to happen. Amen? And giving Peter makes a point, and he says, seeing that the end of all things is at hand. And if you don't believe that today, you really have to look at your Bible. People who do not want to hear that the Lord is coming, but when you want to hear or not he's coming, seeing all things, Peter said, two things is that you have to be sober. The word means a sound judgment, or that word means have proper priorities. You see, Peter is saying, you know what, the Lord is coming, the end of all things is at hand. Peter said, you need to have a right priorities in life. Where are your priorities in life? Where are our priorities in life? In other words, if everything is going to be burned up, what are we getting hassled about things we don't really, it doesn't really matter. And how many knows we are all guilty of that? Amen? You don't have to say amen, but I'll say that to you. Amen. Because we get hassled of the things that doesn't really matter. So what Peter is saying is, look, seeing that end of all things is at hand, keep your mind meditating on the things above. Put your thoughts on things above. Put your heart and affection on the things that are eternal. Don't get caught up with the false priorities in this world. Amen? Don't be running around getting ahead in the world while you are getting backward on the things of God. And if you ever get the taste of heaven and what God has for us, I'm telling you, we need that. Otherwise, we get caught up in what the world called us a rat race, competing with one another. We get anxiety and worrying about things that don't even matter when He comes back. Amen? We get a dent in our car and that bothers us because we read the Bible for 3 days and that does not feed us. And car, no value in heaven. But your spiritual growth has all importance in the world. In the world. Amen? How many knows that we all need the Word of God this morning? Amen? So Peter said, not only that we need to have priorities, that's the first. But listen, the second is that we should have temperate or self-controlled, not intoxicated by the false pleasures of this world. See, Peter, when he wrote this first Peter, he's talking to the Christians, to the believers all over the world. Because Christians are caught up in material things. Christians believe on the false prophet. So he's writing this book to all Christians. He's not writing to the Jewish people. He's writing this to all Christians. And he said, need to have a right priorities in your life. Because they had been caught up with so many things in this world. And not only proper priorities, is that he said that he should be temperate or self-controlled, not intoxicated by the false pleasures of this world. See, the present system can get you high. I'm not talking about drugs or weeds. The lure of money or pleasures or vanity of life, the pride of life, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh can get you high. And you don't even have to take a drug or smoke the weeds. You can get just on life. And what Peter is saying is have not a proper priorities, you don't get seduced and intoxicated. And don't get sleepy. And don't get incoherent. When this whole thing is going to be gone away in a moment. And here's the reason why. Here's the reason why Peter stir up the Christians in the whole world. Not only that he should have a proper priorities. Also that they have to be temperate and self-control. Not intoxicated by the false pleasures. Because it says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be sound judgment, be temperate, and keep sober in your senses. Don't get carried away and excited with the things that has no value. Keep cool. Do you know why? So that you can give yourself to prayer. Amen? It's just like Peter said, that the most important thing that you got to remember, saying that the end of all things is at hand. If you get false priorities, you'll be watching TV on Wednesday night. Be working overtime on your job for more money that you think you're getting ahead. Instead being in the house of the Lord, calling in Jesus Christ, which has a great value in the sight of God. You spend days without time alone with God, where God could bathe you in your soul with His presence, and to give you the strength that you need to live for in a crooked and perfect world. So, Peter is saying, listen everyone, focus on me. He did not say, keep your sober, temperate, and of sound judgment, and have your priorities right so that you can go to heaven. Is that what he said? Have a sober-minded, not intoxicated with the false priorities so that you can get to heaven. Is that what the Bible says? Huh? So that you can Spend your time so that you can give yourself in prayer. Amen? So that you can give yourself in prayer. He is saying, seeing that everything is going to be dissolved, seeing that the end of all things is at near, remember always keep in place, in a place where you can pray. Amen? Because if you get false priorities, you lose the ability to communicate with God. If you get intoxicated by the things of this world, you're going to lose your ability to enjoy the presence of the Lord. In other words, as we are going through this pilgrim's journey, and as we are going through this life, and we are battling with those false voices, false priorities, false value system, in all the things that the world says are important. And sometimes even the church says that they are important. But we are going to keep our mind focused and realize that we need strength every day. And brothers and sisters, let me put it bluntly. How are you and I are going to get the strength we need if we don't pray? If we don't pray, how are we going to get strength? See, you are not made strong by the sermon. You make strong by the presence of the Lord. Amen? The strength of the Lord being imparted to you. That is why sermon, the end with sermon. And if you go home and say, oh, that message of Pastor Ed is awesome. You know what? Our meeting is a failure. I'm glad I'm not hearing from you that the message of Pastor Ed is great. Because I'm not here to be great for myself. I'm here to point to you that Jesus Christ is great. Amen? I have found this happen to me last month. I was troubled about something, and something was bothering me. I don't know if you notice, I'm jumpy, and I look like I don't have a concentration. And my mind was just too fast, and I have some concern in the ministry that I should not be caring. But the Bible says, cast all your care upon Him. But I was carrying this. And then I realized that I need to pour out my heart to God. I got in my car. Alone with God, I lifted up my hand to God and put it down and just quietly. I didn't even pray loud. And oh, His presence just flooded my soul. His presence, not in the presence of Pastor Ed, but in the presence of the Almighty God. There was tranquility in my nerves, and I was not jumpy anymore. I'm telling you that in His presence, there is fullness of joy. But listen, if you don't take that time and call upon the Lord, I'm not asking you to be some kind of a super spiritual caller upon the Lord. God will make you that, but you got to start somewhere else. You got to get alone with God. You know, in our meeting the other Friday, Sister Becky talked about Mary and Martha. Remember? How many of you remember Mary and Martha in our Bible study? And Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus listening to what He said, and Martha was distracted by all preparation that He had to be made. And the Lord said to Martha, 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 you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is need. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away. And Peter said, seeing that all things is going to an end, that is coming soon, be sober-minded, be of sound judgment, have proper priorities. And be temperate, self-controlled, not intoxicated by the pleasures of this world. Why? So that you can give yourself to prayer. Because there's so much destruction in this world. Amen? And we're driving from Ontario almost every other day. How many of you have drive that from Ontario going here? There's a big, big sign. The three-letter word. Have you seen that? Huge. It says sex. Sex. Have you seen that? And then they said, now that I caught your attention, you better get insured. See, there's so much destruction, even on the signs on the freeway. Because the thief will come to destroy. What's the other one? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that's so much destruction. If the enemy could just prevent you from going to the presence of God, from calling Him, He will do everything because His time is about to end. Amen? Saying that the end of all things is near. How we need to be sober. Have proper priorities. Self-control. Not intoxicated by the pleasures of this world. And give ourselves to why? To prayer. Why? Because in prayer, He will fill you up. In prayer, He will lift up God. In prayer, He will direct you. In prayer, He will anoint you. In prayer, He will empower you and quicken you. So I'm asking of you, all of you this morning, tell me, what do you do on Wednesday night? That is more important, saying that everything is going to be burned with fire. Would anybody would like to see at the end of the meeting and tell me, Pastor Ed, I'm doing something on Wednesday. More important than what you're saying about prayer. Could you please tell me, what are you doing on Wednesday night? Saying that the end of all things is near. Your TV will be burned. Your car will be burned up. Everything will go to the way in the flame. But he that does the will of God will abide forever and ever and ever. Amen? Let's close our eyes and let's pray. Shall we all stand? Father, you know my heart, and you know how much Rose and I and Irvin and Mia love the people that you have placed in here, that we could give them and lead them and warn them and teach them and encourage them. And I have to answer one day to you, Lord. I have to stand before you. And you're going to ask me whether I put on a show or whether I want the glory from men or whether I told them the truth. And as the best I know, I told them the truth, God. That you want them to be sober and under control so that they give themselves to prayer. Not just say prayer once in a while, but give ourselves to prayer. Right in the car, in their place of work, in their homes, in the midst of the congregation, strengthening ourselves, blessing other people, lifting up one another. God, I'm asking you to do a new thing in us as a church. Do a new thing on May on me and Sister Rose and Irvin and Mia. Lord, that we may be able to lead them to be a man and woman that you want them to be, Lord. We humble ourselves before you this morning. We confess that without you, we can do nothing, Lord. Without you, we cannot do nothing. And we confess and we repent that we were caught up with the false system of this world. In our hearts, our emotions, and our values, Lord. We have made false priorities and we were caught up with this whole thing that is going to pass away in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We hear your voice calling us that in the presence of Jehovah, trouble vanished, heart are mended, priorities are made right, anointing is given, the leading of God is revealed. Show us as a church, Lord, what do you want us to be? In this city and around the world, show us your glory as Moses asked your glory to be revealed to your children. And we bless your name, O Lord. Amen. Herb, can we sing that song?